You know, most of the time, communities grow and evolve in a somewhat random, some people may say haphazard or even chaotic kind of way. But since 2007, Tallahassee has had a unique framework that taps a wide cross-section of the community to help guide how the capital city will grow and evolve in a more considered and thoughtful fashion. That framework is called the Knight Creative Communities Institute, KCCI for short. In its relatively short life, it's driven some pretty significant changes, and its job is by no means over. This morning on Perspectives, we'll talk with some of the folks who are making KCCI tick and also changing the face of Tallahassee at the same time. It's coming up right here on Perspectives after the news with Sasha Kordner. Happy Thursday to you and yours and everyone else, and thank you for tuning into Perspectives on WFSU-FM. I'm Tom Flanagan, and I hope that you have just a wonderful day and a great weekend upcoming. There are so many things going on in the capital city. We got the Frenchtown Heritage Festival that's going on, a whole host of other events and remembrances and festivals and observances and all. We'll talk about those at some future date because we got something else to focus on here this morning. By the way, if you want to join the conversation at any time, we are welcome to have you aboard telephonically at 414-1234, the local number. It's 800-926-8809. If long distance, perspectives at WFSU.org is the email, or send us a tweet at WFSU Perspective, singular, because we're such a singular program. Back in 2007, remember that? The John S. and James L. Knight Foundation picked Tallahassee as a location for a pilot project, which would partner with renowned economist Richard Florida. Is that not an appropriate name or what?
That's right.
The project was called the Knight Creative Communities Initiative, and it involved selecting between 30 and 35 local residents to take part in an intensive training workshop on the concepts of Florida's book, which was called The Rise of the Creative Class. That has actually been assigned reading at some places. I think over Jim Moran, that's one of the, that's on the book list, if I'm not mistaken. Well, anyway, these community catalysts were developed and then would implement ideas based on the concepts that would improve the community's sense of place, something that Tallahassee has been struggling with for years and years. For a while, we wanted to be Austin, and then we wanted to be Chattanooga, and then back in May, we went to Nashville. And so we've always looked at other places, maybe for some ways to key into what we should be as a community locally. And in theory, the implementation of these ideas would enhance the community's ability to attract and retain members of the creative class, which Florida's research pointed to as a primary economic driver in thriving cities. And that, again, is something, as you know, we've talked about for years, that all these students come to Florida State and Florida A&M and even TCC, and they get great educations, and then they whisk away to other places and use those abilities and skill sets and service to another community. Why not keep more of those folks here? Anyway, that is sort of the basis of KCCI. So we're going to kind of do an update and to bring you up to speed on what the program is and where it's going and what it's doing. And so we bring in some of the leadership of the organization in the form of Betsy Couch, who is KCCI Executive Director. And in full disclosure, Betsy and I used to work together at Visit Florida. Good to see you again.
Good to see you, Tom.
We were talking about doing an annual report. Do we have to do that after the show is over, get together and do that?
We might, after so many years of working together on one with Visit Florida.
We might, but we're going to talk about something else today, which is KCCI. You also brought a member of the board of KCCI and who was a community catalyst as well. She is Lauren Schoaf Pace, and she was with Visit Tallahassee. Good to see you, Lauren.
Good to see you, too. Thanks for having me.
Well, let's get bottom line here. What the heck is a community catalyst? We talked about it in the open. I just referenced it in regards to you. But what is that?
Well, a community catalyst is one of the people that is selected to be part of KCCI for the coming year. And the application process is open for the 2018 year, and people are welcome to submit their applications. The way it works is now the projects are selected in advance. And so the project for this coming year will focus on connectivity with the universities and the community as a whole. And the people that apply are able to be part of the change happening in the Tallahassee community and really help drive that. And as the name speaks, they are a catalyst for what's to come.
All right. So we have that. And I remember the rollout over in Midtown, Betsy, when the big reveal came that that town and gown concurrence was going to be the big deal for the coming catalyst year. So you have how many people who are going to be working on that project?
Now we have between 10 and 12. And when each year, what we found is that when the board kind of can come together, our advisory board, and they can look at a variety of different possible projects that would be the best fit for the future year. And so there's been so many exciting things happening in Tallahassee in terms of placemaking. Many of them that over the past 10 years, projects that have been led by KCCI and our kind of civic leadership teams, but then also projects that have been created through Blueprint 2000, through our local governments, their planning entities. And so we looked at what's on the horizon for 2018 and said, you know what, there are so many amazing places and things happening in Tallahassee, but the problem right now is that we're still continuing to lose talent and young professionals. And it goes back to many of them are not necessarily aware. I mean, you think of FSU and FAMU students, they're right down Gain Street from Cascades Park. But if you went out and surveyed, how many of them have actually left campus and gone and enjoyed Cascades Park, which is such a community jewel?
And you now have a direct connection there, even past College Town, that extension of the trail, which can take people right back into Cascades Park, or ultimately they're going to be able to get all the way down the coast if you want to, you know, rollerblade or bike or whatever, kind of a long walk, but you can do these other things, and all of these trails will be put together. But go down the list of some of the things. If I just came to Tallahassee and said, I have no freaking idea what KCCI is or what it did or what it is doing, what do you consider the major goodies that you folks have accomplished since 2007 and being created?
Well, there's quite a few projects, but one of the first ones I would say, one of our very first projects was getting Gaines going. If you look back in 2007, Gaines Street was not redeveloped. It was bordered by warehouses. And so the teams of leaders, and it was about 15 different people, said, you know what? There have been plans out there, and there have been plans talked about to redevelop this street, but let's push this forward. Let's make it happen. And so ultimately what they did is over the course of a year of working together and working with lots of different entities, private businesses, governmental officials, they were able to push forward the time frame of developing Gaines Street by 11 years. And they did this because they knew that not only would Gaines emerge as this unique sense of place, but also pulling it back to economic development. They knew that if we take a dilapidated street and put some public investment into it, economic development will come. And in fact, what we've seen is that as a result, more than $195.8 million has resulted in private investment, most of which was expended locally. And that's huge. You know, that's just one street in this area. Another one I think that was years later was Cascades Park. You know, it had always been on the docket and plans to take a contaminated space and revitalize it and make it into this world-class park thanks to some of the Blueprint dollars. But then one of our catalyst teams came and said, you know what, let's research. What do people want to see in a world-class park? What do our Tallahassee residents want to see? And so we were able to research more than 2,000 different Tallahassee residents. And what we found is they wanted a place for public outdoor performances, and then they also wanted a place where they could bring their families. And so at that time, the team looked and said, well, wait, we're not going to just stop with having submitted a research report. Let's work with leadership. And they worked with Commissioner Kristen Dozier to kind of push forward the idea of let's go kind of enhance what could have been just a blank cement stage and make it into this world-class amphitheater. And then they also said, let's make sure there's a space for families to come and play. And so that's where the team thanks to private funding from partners like First Commerce Credit Union, was able to come forward and say, okay, if we raise the private dollars to build this play, Discovery Play Space, will you allow us to build it within the park? And I think Discovery is such a great example of public-private partnership and leadership from some of our private citizens, but then also our major businesses in town who all sponsored Discovery to say, okay, but we'll build this, but now let's all work out a sustainability plan and how it can continue on and be maintained. And I love going down there now because you always see tons of different people playing and enjoying the space.
That's an example of a brick and mortar type of thing. But in what you're going to be embarked upon now in the current catalyst class of trying to put, again, I use the town and gown thing because my hometown back in Maryland is struggling with the same thing. Every time you give me an idea, I call up my brother, who happens to be the mayor of the hometown.
And say, right.
Oh, here's what we're doing in Tallahassee. You guys ought to try this. In fact, he got one idea. He is doing his next city council meeting on campus.
Oh, good.
And inviting all the students to come in and to be part of that so that they feel, oh, gosh, you know, we're not just here at school, we actually are part of a larger community, and maybe some ideas will come out how they can get involved more with the town aspect of the whole thing. But how do you do that? How do you embark on a project like that? Because this isn't a building. This isn't a park. This is trying to forge a connection. How do you do that?
That's a great question. You know, we've had lots of conversations about this in the board meeting, and ultimately that is what this new creative class will be tasked with. They will have to find the way to reach that segment, to bring those groups of people together and find out what works for their project.
And I think there's so many opportunities there for creativity. We've facilitated roundtables just in the last month we had an FSU one that had about 12 different representatives from different colleges to say, hey, what do you think about this idea? What are some of the things the past you would like to see the team come down? And then we also did that with FAMU, and we're able to, it's always interesting to see some of the similar ideas bubble to the top. But it's also what's so exciting about being a community catalyst is because they get to come in, and one thing they share on the application is some of their ideas for how they think university and community connectivity could be enhanced and better connected. And so then we take the feedback from our major universities and then also from the applicants, and we're able to share that in a 2-day training. And I think that's one thing that really leads our community catalyst to be extremely successful is the model. It's a mandate. Once you're selected through the self-nomination process, and we always select a very broad, diverse group of people, it is mandatory, though, for their participation that they have to participate in a 2-day training. And in that 2-day training, not only does it help them kind of build relationships with each other, but we give guidance on everything happening in the community that they need to be aware of. And then also we bring in speakers for about a day or so that tie in just with their project idea. And so they're able to leave that 2-day training really hitting the ground running. And then they meet weekly and they're very action oriented and focused on their success. But what's also really exciting to see is they don't always start with X end goal. As they get more community impact, they and community feedback, they kind of change their goal throughout the year, which is always really fun to see. It does morph.
Betsy Couch and Lauren Chopace of KCCI, our guests on Perspectives. We'd love to hear from you, too. 414-1234, 800-926-8809, or perspectives@wfsu.org. We'll be right back. We are back talking KCCI, the Knight Creative Communities Institute. And a reminder, if your organization is interested in applying for a grant from the Knight Foundation Fund for 2017 consideration, you can get your letter of inquiry in by November 15. That is bearing down on us. And this was a direct link from the Community Foundation of North Florida. Or you can go right to KCCI's website. Or right, Betsy?
Go to the Community Foundation of North Florida
page. Okay. All right. Yeah, because that is a grant, and that goes through those guys.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. Anyway, Lauren, you had wanted to talk a little bit about, again, the current project here that is being catalyzed. Can we even use that term?
Sure. Well, you know, the current project is focusing on the hashtag iHeartTally. And the group came to us. This is an effort that Leon County Tourism, Visit Tallahassee, launched a few years ago. Really is just a way to promote conversations between residents and visitors about all the great things there are to see and do in Tallahassee, all the hidden treasures, and you know, bring it together so people could find that information, because we have the people right here. Our best brand advocates are the people that live, work, and play in Tallahassee. So we launched this hashtag, hashtag iHeartTally, and it actually, to date, has received more than 213 million impressions. That's estimated social impressions. And so it's been a very successful campaign. And the Catalyst Group wanted to help kind of bring more to that, to take it to the next level, to reinvigorate it and add some more excitement. And the thought process there was bringing it to life with a life-size structure. And so that is what they have proposed to do, and actually are over halfway there with their funding goals to make this project happen this year. They have worked with community leaders, both county and city. They have determined a site to put this structure. They have gone through the design work and found FSU Master Craftsman Studio to actually fabricate it. And they propose doing a mobile structure that is the hashtag iHeartTally letters that can go to different signature events around town. It actually debuted this past weekend at the Florida Jazz and Blues Festival. And so it's really, really neat to see, one, them not only pick something that we've worked so hard at to bring to life, but then to see the progression, as Betsy mentioned a little while ago, to see it morph. You know, this project started at one phase and has just morphed over the past few months. And having been a catalyst, it is really, really exciting to see them get behind it, to see their ideas, to have them reach out to me and want to talk about it. And I'm, you know, Leon County is just very supportive of their efforts and very excited to see this come to fruition.
And I think what they've really enjoyed seeing is how open some of the major community business leaders have been to sitting down and talking with them and giving feedback on their project idea, but then also especially the governmental leaders as well and entities such as Visit Tallahassee. And I know one of the team members, one thing they did back in April or May was they said, you know, let's bring as part of this initiative to bring it to life, one of the team members is a muralist in town, Cosby Hayes. And so one day driving into Kleeman Plaza, he said, you know, let's make some of these spaces more colorful. And so he worked with Commissioner Gil Ziffer and then the City Commission and Visit Tallahassee. And they were able to quickly, within about 2 weeks, color that entrance to Kleeman Plaza. And now there's a huge hashtag iHeartTally. And we've seen people already there. It's been shared on social media significantly. And, you know, not a week goes by that I don't hear a comment from someone where, oh, we love that. You know, that's such a great way to enter into downtown now, which is really exciting. And I think the team was so excited that ideas like that could pop up last minute, and then they could be implemented very easily and efficiently.
And very quickly, because as you pointed out at the beginning, Betsy, a lot of times we talk about this stuff forever. We love to talk in Tallahassee, and things don't get done. They remain concepts and goals and aspirations, but you never see the real thing come. Let's add Jared to the conversation here on Line 1. Hi, Jared. Welcome to Perspectives, and thanks for hanging on.
Okay, thanks for taking my call. I want to compliment the Knight Foundation for its civic work of building community in the ways that your guests have described. But I want to raise another significant issue, and that is that the Knight Foundation, in creating this civic organization, it seems like at the top of the list would be the issue of creating community, building community. And the elephant in the room is that there actually are two Tallahassees. There's the South Side and the Black Tallahassee, and there's the North East Side, which is essentially White Tallahassee. Why hasn't the Knight Foundation initiated some kind of movement or organization, like Gainesville, for instance, that has created an organization called One Gainesville, to focus on this issue of continuing segregation? And that's really my question, and I'll take my answer off the air. Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you so much, Jared. And in fact, there was a meeting of Tallahassee Forward last night over at the Gasvini Healthcare Center right next to TMH that was struggling with that. And we also then this Sunday are going to have another longest table that is going to be focused on that as well. But Betsy, as far as having a bunch of community catalysts getting in and saying, okay, how do we... It'll never be forever and finally solved, but how do we move forward on this whole thing of uniting these two Tallahassees when it's race and income and all these other things that are mixed in here?
And that's a great point you make, Jared. Thank you for calling in. And many of our projects, we did have a project one year called See Tallahassee, and their goal was to, with exactly what you mentioned in mind, their goal was to try to make all the different pockets in Tallahassee kind of aware of other assets and draws in different parts of town. And so a couple of things that they ultimately did was, one, creating this creative artistic map, but then they also worked to kind of host gatherings in different parts of town, because what they found is, if, say, you live on the south side, but then you come and enjoy, you know, a brunch and a walk through Midtown, you might realize that there's more that there are so many different cool things that area offers, and vice versa. People from the north side who may have never been down to South Monroe Street or gone to a musical performance at the Junction, you know, once they get down there and they see, wow, this is so cool and interesting, kind of encourages them to come back. There is, of course, more that could always be done, and that is one reason every year with our KCCI projects as well, we challenge the team if they, whatever they're going to do, that it is something that appeals to a broad audience, and especially if they're looking to create a place, that it is a place that would appeal to a broad range of people. And I think if you look back at KCCI's track record, many of the spaces are kind of new parks or projects that they've done. It has been something that has kind of wide appeal to lots of different people.
Well, and you talked about diversity on the selection of catalysts and all that, and trying to represent a wide cross-section of the community, whether it's income, race, or any of the other metrics that you're using on that. In fact, I think we have a catalyst here named Charlotte, and she is calling in online too. Hey, Charlotte. Are you still there, Charlotte?
I am here.
Yes, go right ahead, ma'am. Thank you for joining us.
Hi. Yes, I'm a 2017 catalyst member who is working on the iHeart Tally piece of media that you guys were just discussing.
Oh, and how does that go about? How do you guys actually dig in there in those weekly meetings, Charlotte, and try to figure out, all right, how do we move this boulder up the hill?
Well, after hearing you discuss sort of the morphing that happens during the process of being a KCCI Catalyst member, that's exactly what happens. And sometimes when you're in the middle of those meetings every week, you kind of forget just how far we've come. We went from this conceptual idea of the iHeart Tally brand to an actual physical form that we get to put into the Tallahassee community. So a lot of times what happens is we speak to anything from architecture, engineering, design, location, to fundraising and community development. So we're really excited because we are going to break ground very, very soon on the project. And even what you guys were just discussing about this sort of intersection of connecting communities, we're excited because this project, we really feel, will be a gateway between several communities in Tallahassee.
That is terrific, Charlotte. Well, I sure wish you all the best, and can't wait to see the iHeart Tally. I guess we call it's not a monolith, but it certainly is a... What do we call this thing, Lauren?
It's a form of media. What? You know, it's almost an artistic media structure in a way, I guess. I don't know. What would you call it?
I think an artistic media structure sums it all up.
Sounds very college-educated level.
Yeah. But someone has to load this thing in and out of the truck and drive it around to different kind of events, too. So how does that – is that part of this whole thing as well?
Well, this is – it's actually two separate pieces. So the one that has already been created is the mobile version. And that one is about 3 feet tall by 12 feet long. And that's the one that will go to various events around town to raise awareness for hashtag iHeartTally. And now the permanent structure that the Catalyst Group is working to start on now actually becomes a piece of art in public place. This will be at the little parklet, I believe is what they called it the other day, at the end of the pedestrian bridge in Cascades Park. And it will be a permanent structure that is there that people can go and see and interact with. So it is an artistic media, and it is art in public place, and it adds to a park and just enhances the area.
And I think just the location is an example of kind of the thoughtful consideration that the Catalyst team consider and think about before they move forward in making a decision. You know, I know this current team looked at about 20 different locations when they were thinking, you know, where is the best space to make this new urban park experience where this centerpiece structure will be kind of the main draw? And of course, they were looking at areas that they really wanted to be pulling that connectivity of a lot of different diverse audiences, and that's ultimately why they landed on the spot over near the new bridge and along that FAMU Way pedestrian pathway, because they felt, you know, while right now it's out of the way, it's not too far out of the way that people would never come, but then they really liked its close proximity to South Monroe, South Adams. I mean, it's right in that area, but then also to FAMU and all the students there. And then, of course, to Gaines Street and Railroad Square and to FSU, and then also downtown and Cascades Park and the neighborhood of Myers Park. They really felt like that was kind of a great spot that would pull all these different entities together right in that immediate surrounding.
Well, while we're down at that end of town, let's talk to Joe, because I think that's something he wants to focus on. Hey, Joe, welcome to Perspectives.
Hey, I want to talk about the north side of the city on North Monroe Street from Capitol Circle to I-10. I think that approach to the city needs to be improved, too. I was just sitting here thinking of how I don't feel like I'm part of Tallahassee because that stretch of land is just blah. So can you have a discussion centered around that?
Well, let's see. We had one bit of movement that that took place recently, the old Ramada that has lain fallow now for how many years after that franchise went south is now being recreated as, again, a hotel, but at least that will not be an abandoned property anymore. But beyond that, Betsy and Lauren, that's another major gateway to the community. So is that perhaps on the future horizon of KCCI when it comes to a project?
That's a great point that you made. And each year when we are during the summer and all throughout the year, that's one thing I really like about the project selection is we are open to citizen feedback. And, you know, probably even this year, I probably had about 30 different citizens email me possible project ideas. And then what we do before we take them in front of our advisory board is I cull through a lot of those. I start having those community conversations to figure out, one, is it possible to implement it within the next year timeframe? Is there something that potentially has long-term sustainability for the project idea? And then we're able to move it forward. Some of the ideas that come forward to us as well, we find that they're not necessarily something that needs to wait and be a future year community catalyst project. I'm able to sometimes put the people that reach out to me directly in touch with different businesses or entities that can help make their vision become a reality. But I agree, you know, the North Monroe area, it is such a major gateway into this city. And I know the year of our See Tallahassee team, that was one thing they even wanted to kind of pull in was further marketing the Huntington District. And I believe, hasn't work been done, Lauren, from the county side of really working to kind of enhance that North Monroe area, adding new parks in that area? I don't know the specifics, but I know especially Commissioner John Daly has, you know, really worked to kind of beautify, and more can always be done. One year back in 2011, one of our team projects also was on the Monroe Gateway. Now, this is from I-10 within town. And I know they were able to get some of the Monroe Street beautification aspects and enhancing that sense of place put into the Blueprint 2020 plan. And so there is funding in Blueprint 2020 to further enhance sense of place in that North Monroe district near the I-10 corridor.
All right, because that's just a primary commercial gateway right now. It's really tough to try to do any kind of aesthetic enhancement when you've got an awful lot of commercial stuff that's out there.
So. Absolutely. That's a great question.
I was just going to say, I think part of the whole goal of the Catalyst Class 2 is the whole placemaking initiative. So ideally, all of these areas of town would be beautified and reinvigorated. You know, it just takes time, money, and effort.
Absolutely. And definitely in working closely with the residents that live in each area. You know, one example was back in 2013, are the Frenchtown neighborhood. And there, you know, everyone had been talking about the fact that there's been a food desert in the Frenchtown area for years. And so that year, kicking off in 2013, the KCCI team said, okay, we really need to sit down with the neighbors and the Jim Bellamy's of the world and say, let's work together to create a plan for how we improve this area and help solve the farmers market, help solve the food desert. And so they came up with the idea of, let's implement a farmers market, but let's make it repetitive, because if it's on every Saturday, then you can help build up your base and more people will start coming. Well, then from that, what they found is actually a lot of people were coming from outside of the neighborhood. And so they were able to even do additional outreach within the neighborhood to kind of get the neighbors engaged, get local farms within the neighborhood engaged. It is one of the first farmers markets within the state that they were able to get it to accept SNAP and EBT cards, which was huge. And now it's kind of a leader in the state in terms of that aspect. And then here we look years later, they also were able to get more than a $100,000 USDA grant in 2015 that really helped the Frenchtown Farmers Market kind of put together a more permanent roots. So they were able to work with, I know there's been a lot of talk about the CRA, but they were able to work with public and private partners like the CRA to establish that permanent home for the farmers market. And now fast forward to 2017, not only is it a successful farmers market, but they are doing so much in that under that farmers market umbrella by having community conversations that take place. They are putting the pieces together to make a kitchen share program, which will be an entrepreneurship program for emerging chefs and cooks in the area. So, I mean, that's just a project that has blossomed and blossomed. And it's really thanks in part to the leadership of the neighborhood leaders that have really gotten involved, and then also, of course, some of our past KCCI community catalysts.
And we are talking about KCCI, the Knight Creative Communities Institute. Betsy Couch and Lauren Shove Pace here with us on Perspectives. 414-1234 is our number. If it is local, if it's long distance, it's 800-926-8809, or send us an email, perspectives@wfsu.org. We shall return. Friendly reminder that you can always find Perspectives online at WFSU.org. Just go to our website, click on radio, pull down the programs menu, and Perspectives is listed therein, and just click that. Usually within 24 hours of the program actually airing on the radio, we'll have it up online so you can go back and listen to it at your leisure if you would like. And we're talking KCCI, and in the beautiful annual report, good job, Bessie, fresh from Frenchtown. This is about the Frenchtown Farmers Market. But if you have not been there lately, you need to go down on Saturday because it is the Frenchtown Heritage Fest. And the market has expanded hours, of course. There are more vendors. There's music. There's all kinds of really cool stuff. And I can recall, Betsy Couch, when strong men and women tried to avoid Frenchtown because, oh, the crime, it's horrible, it's terrible. It is beautiful. It is lovely. And the neighborhoods are friendly and welcoming and warm, and the it is a totally different place.
It really is. And I think the farmers market in the Frenchtown neighborhood is one of the best farmers markets in town. Of course, we're really blessed in Tallahassee that we have such great locally sourced farms and restaurants that share locally sourced food. But our farmers markets really kind of are something so unique about our area. And the Frenchtown one is great. The Lake Ella one is fantastic. Of course, downtown. I mean, there's really a farmers market on every day of the week in Tallahassee. But if you haven't been to the Frenchtown Farmers Market, I really would recommend take your family, take your husband, you know, head down there, go on your own, but definitely bring some shopping bags because you're going to want to leave with some great produce. And not only do they sell food, but they have all kinds of crafts and different local made, you know, handmade type items that they sell as well.
Well, you mentioned Lake Ella. Lake Ella has also been a KCCI project, too, a kind of reimagining of that very unique and iconic part of town. So that was something you guys picked up on as well.
It was. One of our teams worked on the Lake Ella project years ago, and they knew that it was already a thriving area, but they said, you know, what can we do to make this area even more welcoming? And so, of course, one of the things you see were some of the beautification efforts that happened. They added the porch swings around Lake Ella and really kind of pushed for some enhancements in the play area. And then another thing is that they realized they worked with local businesses there and said, hey, why is there a food truck Thursday happening right down the street when if we had the right infrastructure in place, we could bring Food Truck Thursday right here to Lake Ella, where there's already a thriving audience. There's all kinds of cool businesses. And so one of the things they were able to help do was make that Food Truck Thursday entity help move it to be located near Lake Ella. And now, speaking of college students, Food Truck Thursday is a top 10 activity that FSU students participate in. I don't know if any research has been done with TCC or FAMU students, but I thought that was really interesting when I saw that.
Everyone loves food trucks. Come on.
They do. And then that's a project where the porch swings started, and they started with such popularity. You go any day and you see people swinging on the porch swings. Well, a few years later, one of our other project teams worked on Downtown Sense of Place. And they really, not only did they have events that drew people to downtown, but one thing they found was, hey, let's add some porch swings throughout the downtown area. So, of course, the first one was put right across from the Governor's Club on Adams Street. But then now, you know, there are more than 20 different porch swings that were funded by private businesses or groups of people that would come together that are not only all throughout downtown, but they're in Cascades Park. We've even seen neighborhoods.
Waverly Hills.
Waverly has one. Lots of different neighborhoods have come together and purchased one to put into their neighborhood as well.
Well, an important consideration there, because with all of the controversy in Sturm und Drang going on about, as you said, Betsy, CRAs and things of that ilk here, as far as funding, people may be saying, well, where do you guys get your money? Is it blueprint money? Is it my tax dollars that are going for this thing? How do you guys pay for yourselves?
No, it's not just their tax dollars. No, KCCI was founded in 2007 by the Knight Foundation with a grant, a huge grant from the Knight Foundation to kind of test out this economic development, civic leadership type project. And then once that grant expired in 2014, we were able to pull together a lot of private partners to fund our initiative and to continue us on for at least 5 more years. And then we were able to also get, you know, some minor public dollars as well. And I think all those private partners immediately came to the table because they saw the results that were generated from these volunteer teams. And they really were impressed by the action-oriented teams coming together to kind of enhance economic development in our community. And we're really fortunate as well that we still have Knight Foundation funding. And then, of course, the Archibald Foundation is a huge funder. And those are probably our top funders is the foundations, which we're really thankful for that.
Okay. Other projects you got, Progress on Palmer. Again, I'm just going through the report here when it comes to a South Side kind of redevelopment or reimagining or revisioning sort of thing.
And I'll let Lauren talk about that one because she was a catalyst on the South Side Sense of Place.
Yeah, what was
project.
Up with that, Lauren?
Certainly. The year that I was a catalyst, I believe it was 2010, one of the needs that we identified is that this area of town, South Side, did need a little bit of attention. You know, things were starting to look a little weathered and it just needed a beautification project. So we selected that as our project and titled it the South Side Sense of Place Project. And what we did, we started by bringing different business owners in the area and residents together. We had a few town hall meetings just to kind of get feedback and buy-in, just to get their ideas on what they wanted to see in that area since they're the ones that own businesses and live there. From there, we hosted a cleanup day where we got different members of the community from all over to come down and help pick up trash. And it was just a great way to get people to come together and also have a fun event that contributed to the beautification of our city, you know, just giving back. And ultimately, what ended up happening was They did a beautification on the Palmer Street segment, which connects the FAMU campus. It's like the gateway into the FAMU campus and the South Monroe business area. So they've dubbed that area as the SOMO district. And this really provides a connection between those two areas for the businesses and the university, and gives its only east-west sidewalks walking along Monroe and Adams. And it created a new modern streetscape. And, you know, the way I view it is this is just one piece of the bigger plan for down there, and to eventually, you know, beautify, I guess is the word I will use, that entire area, you know, piece by piece. This was one piece in the puzzle in getting that area to what it needs to be. And there are so many wonderful residents and passionate business owners that really want to get behind it and help continue to grow the area and create that sense of place. And since then, we have seen so many things come down there, the junction at Monroe and mm-hmm. the different murals. And I mean, it really is coming along and it's super exciting to see.
Okay, there are, because that is always one of the concerns of a lot of folks when it comes to any sort of initiative like this, that it is, oh gosh, a top-down situation. People from outside our neighborhood coming in, telling us what they want to see here. They never ask us what we want, and then they do their stuff and they leave, and we never see them again. And eventually the whole thing just deteriorates anyway. Who cares?
And it's the opposite of that. I mean, the projects are bottom-up. I mean, they're citizen-led initiatives that are from people from all pockets of Tallahassee, all pockets of talents and backgrounds. And it's fascinating to see when that diverse group works together, how they're able to solve a challenge or build upon an opportunity. And then we call them community catalysts because they truly are. One thing we challenge the team from the first day of their training is, the people you see in this room are not the only people you need to work with on this project. You need to pull in as many different people as you can as possible to work with them, to get their input, to listen to them and be adaptable to changing based on what you hear and what feedback you get from having those conversations. And that's always really fascinating to watch. And I think another project that's a good example of how the team started with a certain goal, and then as they listened to the community conversation, they really were able to adapt and have even more success. And one was that was our Tallahassee on Two Wheels project, which really worked in the beginning to enhance bikeability. And their initial goal was to enhance Tallahassee's status, you know, with the National Accreditation Board. And they were able to raise Tallahassee's bronze status with the League of American Bicyclists. And so they also created a bike share program with local government. And they kind of looked at if there could be future opportunities for enhancing bikeability in Tallahassee. And one of the things they realized in that year was, wait, Franklin Boulevard's about to be developed and redone. And so they said, hold on, let's add, we need to make sure that we're not only adding pedestrian pathways there, but that we're adding bicycle lanes there. And how you loop that into this future planning of having a huge bicycle trail that will go all the way down to the coast. So, you know, that was something that didn't necessarily start out as their end goal, but it was definitely a huge success for them that they were able to incorporate a bike path into Franklin Boulevard. And as that was getting redone,
a lot more cost efficient than suddenly saying, after the bulldozers and the paving machines are put away, oops, we shoulda. And then right. You'd have to go back and redo the whole thing again at vast expense. Ken joins us here online, too. Welcome to Perspectives, Ken.
Oh, thank you.
Yes, sir.
I live over on the northwest side of Tallahassee, you know, the least flashy side, which is a more mixed area, but it also serves a large population of the city. But it kind of remains on the lower end. And, you know, the west side has seen, you know, better days and kind of fallen into some grim shabbiness. And I was wondering if there were perhaps plans to improve and modernize this area with, you know, perhaps shops and living spaces or, you know, something to bring about improvement so that there's a brighter, more hopeful future for this area.
Oh, thanks so much, Ken. Neighbor, I'm over on the northwest side, too. So what's up with that part of the world, Betsy?
KCCI hasn't yet done a project in the Northwest Side, but that is always an area of town that we're really open and constantly watching and trying to see what could be something that we could do. And I would definitely encourage you or any of your friends in your neighborhood to share ideas with us of what you think could make a great placemaking project. And then also apply. You know, our application process is open right now until November 10th to apply to be a 2018 Community Catalyst and work on our University Connectivity Project. And, you know, that might be something you may go to our website, kccitallahassee.com, and the application is there under the Get Involved section.
Okay, because I'm thinking also, Ken, because there's so much student housing that is still in that area. Not everybody lives in College Town, at least not yet, and you've got plenty of student housing that's over on the west side and the northwest side, and that could help to maybe jumpstart some connections that could lead into a project over on the west side. I know, though, there's a brand new park over there right off of Mission Road that the county has just put together, which is really awesome. And a lot of folks don't know it's there because it just kind of opened. And it's going to be part of our chain of parks and greenways and everything else that's over there, which
it's a hidden gem.
It really, so many people don't realize what we have. They may go to the Alford Greenway when they have that open weekend event. But ultimately, the idea, correct me if I'm wrong, Betsy, is to interconnect all of our greenways and trails so it is one unified system across the entire county. And you might be able to get from, say, oh my gosh, Lake Jackson all the way to the coast without having to cross a single street. Maybe just one or two, but ultimately you'll be able to just trail it anywhere you want to go.
And Leon County has a great master plan, and both the city and the county do a really good job with our parks. You know, our parks have been named nationally as the best parks in the nation multiple years in a row, so we're really fortunate. And I know there's even trailahassee.com, which was something that kind of stemmed from a past KCCI project as well, but that the county and I believe Visit Tallahassee work together to maintain. And it is a wonderful resource. You know, it not only shows Tallahassee's really blessed with biking trails, hiking trails, paddling trails. You know, I mean, people come from Europe to go paddle on some of our springs and lakes, and yet they're right here in our own backyard.
Well, and trailahassee.com is a great place to go to get information on the more than 600 miles of trails in the area. And we've actually been working on that site, and we'll relaunch it with new content, new images, new videos, all kinds of stuff here in the very near future.
You know, one of our other past projects, which has been a huge success story, is back in 2007, the team started with the idea that, you know, knowing that sustainable communities attract the creative class, the team started Greenovation, which very quickly morphed into Sustainable Tallahassee. And one thing we always challenge our teams with is, okay, this can't just be a project that happens for 1 year. It needs to have long-term sustainability. What's your plan for that? And I think Sustainable Tallahassee is such a great example of a group that has really grown in strength and helped advocate for, you know, environmentally friendly practices and sustainable practices for our community. And they have such a wonderful board of directors, and they're really active in so many different aspects in the community.
And even though Executive Director Jim Davis is now shuffling off into retirement, Sustainable Tallahassee will continue with its mission even after Jim is gone. So I saw him down at Cascades Park this past weekend for the Jazz and Blues Fest. And
oh, good.
I think retirement's going to agree with him, but he's been a very busy guy. Something else here, just in the moment that we have left, talk about a spontaneous eruption. There was never any such place in Tallahassee traditionally as an area called Midtown. This is a very recent development in this town's history, but it just sprang up spontaneously, and KCCI was one of the things that helped make that happen.
It did, and I know it seems as though it might have sprang up just very quickly. You know, I think that's an example of an area that truly had a lot of planning go into it. And the KCCI team really worked to pull in the neighbors and the businesses and kind of they brought in students from FAMU to develop a master plan and a look of how this area could grow while still having some of the assets that make it remarkable. You know, it's walkability, it's natural historical spaces. You know, how do you kind of better connect the neighborhoods with the possible coffee shops and growth. And, you know, and now we look at Midtown. Everybody knows about Midtown, whether you've been there or not. Most people have been there, but they know about the area. And, you know, and speaking of an area that kind of appeals to a broad range of people, you know, you do see all kinds of walks of life if you're down there at Red Eye having a cup of coffee. And it's really neat to see how that area has grown, but grown in a sustainable way.
Well, Betsy and Lauren, it looks like even though we have come a long way, there is still a long way to go. And KCCI in some way, shape, form, or fashion is going to be in the very, very thick of it with Community Catalysts, helping to guide that growth and development and trying to get more people in more parts of the community, however that falls out, involved in that reimagining and redevelopment. So good job, guys. Can't wait to see what you do with the Town and Gown thing. We'll be keeping an eye on it.
Thank you. We're really, any initiative that helps enhance sense of place, you know, is a win-win for the community because it is good, sound economic growth and it enhances our economic vitality as a community as a whole.
Betsy Couch, KCCI Executive Director, and Lauren Chopace, Visit Tallahassee, a KCCI board member and former catalyst. Thank you guys for coming on.
Thank you.
Perspectives produced by WFSU-FM in Tallahassee. We had Evan Rossi and Lydell Rawls back behind the glass doing their thing today. I'm Tom Flanagan. You've heard about Capital City crime rate in recent months. You want to tune in next week. We have Sheriff Walt McNeil, Tallahassee Police Chief Mike DeLeo. They'll be joining us live for the whole hour right here on Perspectives.
Copies of Perspectives are available by calling 1-800-829-8809. Log on to WFSU.org for online archives and podcast. Perspectives is a production of 88.9 WFSU-FM, Tallahassee.